Good morning, everyone.
It is good to come on, although today is a bit cold, but nevertheless, it is good to worship the Lord in our church here and all over the world. God's people bow down and worship Almighty God. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. We have just read by our brother Daniel Ho. He read from Job chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. The book of Job I have chosen this morning is concerning faith with no strings attached. I'd like to challenge all of us. Is concerning our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no bigger challenge to faith than undeserved suffering. We know that God is all-powerful. God is full of compassion and full of love. So how can God tolerate it when good people suffer? Where was God when the trains were rumbling through the gates of Auschwitz? That is the concentration camp during the Second World War, where the Nazis have many camps, both in Europe, especially in Germany, where many, many Jews and other people, the so-called undesired, were exterminated. Where is God when hundreds and even thousands are killed during the tsunami in Aceh, in Indonesia, in Thailand, and in other Asian countries? Where is God when the tsunami overflow cities in Japan? Where is God when a loved one is dying on the hospital bed? If your faith will not protect you from cancer or tsunami or tornadoes or most recently the drive-by shooting in Las Vegas when 22,000 people attended a concert and someone in the MGM hotel or building, which I stay there myself when I visited Las Vegas, I can't remember what floor I was on. But on, I think the 32nd floor, an American, respectable, without any previous serious crime, took pot shot with 10 guns. Some of it converted like machine gun and shot dead 58 people at a concert, and over 500 other people was injured. So where was God when all these things happened? Why do we bother with it? From the passage of the scripture from Job that we have read. First, I want to mention about Satan's challenge. That is the question at the heart of the book of Job. It is the question Satan put before God. As Satan went to and fro about the earth, he noticed that it was easy for people to believe in God when life was going well for them. And God's blessings were obvious. When people were doing well, we as Christians believe that it is the blessings from the Lord. But Satan challenged God that the faith of even the most devout person would only go so far. What will the faithful think of you when they can't see your goodness? Satan asked God. Is it possible to believe in God with no strings attached? That's the question Job poses for all of us here this morning. Also, I'd like to point to you, Job was a good and a righteous man. It is important to know one thing about Job. It is so important that we learn it in the first verse of the book that bears his name. The first verse of Job in verse chapter 1, Job was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. At a time when wealth and family were considered signs of God's favor. Indeed, Job was the richest man in the East. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. in our modern family. Nowadays, we don't have many, many children. A lot of them have 2, 3, or even 4 maybe. But Job had 10 children. But Job did not take his, take his blessings for granted. He made absolutely sure that nothing ever came between him and God. For instance, his sons liked to party. Thousands of years ago, people already loved parties. But the morning after each of their parties, while his sons were still sleeping off it, Job would go up, get up early, and make a sacrifice to God on their children's behalf before the Lord. Just in case they had done something the night before during the party that displeased the Lord or had some passing thought that was less than wholesome. That Job was a good father. He wanted to make sure that his children did not do things to displease God during the party. And he will make sacrifice to atone their sins for he on behalf of his children. That was a good father. So therefore, not only Job was a good, honest, and a righteous man, he was also a good father, a father of responsibility on behalf of his children. But during the passage, we read that the worst is yet to come. One day, it all fell apart. Job lost all his wealth, his family, and his health. But that was not the worst of it. Oh, you can be sure, Job cried and grieved the way any of us would do the same. But what hurt Job more was the sense that somehow he has lost touch with God. Job had built his whole life trusting that if he loved God and did what was right, God would protect him. God would cover him. He and God were good friends. How then could all of this disaster happen to him? Not only his health, his wealth, his family were taken away from him. Where was God in it all? What should a person of faith do? Why did it happen to such a good and righteous man, a good father? Job's wife had some advice for her husband. What did she advise him? Curse God and die. The way she saw it, if there is a God, it does not make any difference whether you are good or bad. Why should you give God the gratification of acknowledging that God exists? If someone like Job is going to suffer as he did, then why not just turn your back and do whatever you done well please? The second part is something that I want to challenge you all to learn, that the faith we need. If we believe we have a credit account with God, and God owes us something for our faith, then sooner or later, Job's wife is going to make a lot of sense. Curse God and die. If prayer is nothing more than the way you let God know what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do for you, then why should you bother if you cannot see the answer to your prayers? If going to church is just another form of life insurance, a way to get brownie points with God, so God will pay attention to you when you need him, then something is going to happen that makes Job's wife advice to her husband sound pretty good. Sooner or later, God is not going to fit into whatever neat little framework we construct to contain God. If we believe in God because of what is in it for us, then faith cannot help but collapse when our expectations are let down. So, dearly beloved, Job's faith did not collapse when his world fell apart. Job did not believe in God as a means to an end. Faith was more than the key to happiness. What Job desired more than anything else What's the relationship with his maker? That is important. Dear brothers and sisters, is how our relationship with him, when things look so bleak, Job did not plead to have his fortune restored, but he begged to restore his relationship with God. All he wanted to know that God had not abandoned him in his misery. That is very important, dear brothers and sisters. When things doesn't look good, when we face challenges, and at times maybe in crisis, we need to learn from Job. He wanted to make sure, he begged to restore his relationship with God. And he asked God not to abandon him in his misery. The third point from this chapter is that we want to learn from the New Testament that our Lord Jesus, when he went to the cross of Calvary is our assurance. Jesus felt that same absence of God when he was hung on the cross of Calvary. Jesus had not done anything to deserve what he got any more than Job had. Jesus was perfectly sinless. He was without sin. And yet, he was going to the cross. They crucified him there as a criminal, the worst type of crime during the Roman Empire. Stretched on the cross, Jesus cried out loud, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus affirmed our freedom to scream when we are face to face with the powers of death. And God seems so far away. But even when he felt forsaken, Jesus could say in faith with his dying breath, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. A final affirmation, then more, no matter what happens, we belong to God. Our Lord Jesus, faith in God is something that we can always learn. Fourthly, God's faithfulness endures. Job knew that God's faithfulness endures when all else fails. Even our understanding of God. Job's life affirmed what Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans hundreds of years later. From Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that marvelous? God's faithfulness endures forever and ever. So, dearly beloved, Job, a faithful servant of God, he's a good, righteous man, a good father, a good friend of God. And one day, his life suddenly changed. All his wealth, his family, his health were taken away from him. And yet, he never asked God so that he can regain his health, his wealth, and even his restore, his family. All he was concerned was to restore the relationship with God. That is the most wonderful thing that we can learn from this book of Job. His faith is something that we can learn, especially we live in a fast-changing world of the 21st century. Life is not always just smooth, steady. At times, it has turbulences. At times, it has challenges. But the important thing is our faith that we can learn from his servant, Job. All from the New Testament, our Lord Himself, He suffered on the cross for our sins. Even though He was without sin, He was sinless. But He was willing, even though God the Father seems so far away from Him. And yet, He was willing to commit His life to the God the Father, the one who cares for each one of us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that we can learn from this beautiful story of Job. Even though he did not know that God allowed Satan to challenge him, destroy his wealth, destroy his family, destroy his health, and yet his faith is so strong. And He gave us lesson so that we can learn in order for us to navigate our life living in the 21st century. We are living in times of challenges. Help us to learn and have a faith to grow stronger each day of our life, O Lord. Thank You for teaching us this morning through Your servant Job. Also, from our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, how He went to the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. And thank You for the encouraging words of Apostle Paul. Thank You for teaching us this morning that we need to be strong in order to be a good disciple of Jesus and continue to follow Him. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.